come up. We're going to share our Bible reading this morning, if that's all right, Karen. And, one of my favourite parts of the Bible.
Good morning. The reading this morning is Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. And then, she says and can't see it, 25 to 28. Exploring Canaan. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran, all the leaders of the Israelites. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community in Kadesh, in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly, and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account: "We went to the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there." Amen.
Last night, I did something I've not done for quite a while. I went to speak at a youth event. Oh, you see, I used to be a youth leader. I went to Christ Church, I speak at a young people's group. And it's been a while since I've spoken to young people, I must admit. And I realised that things have changed, because on the way out of the house, I took my glasses. I don't know, I didn't used to have to do that, but I'm a little bit older. And the Christchurch young people were doing something called the Game Show of Life. So they were doing all these kind of different games. There was the cube and catchphrases and play your cards right and that kind. And I was asked to go and do a short talk on the back of this kind of night they were having for their young people. So I decided I would do a talk called Chance or Choice. That was the theme of my talk. My sort of 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes I had to share with these young people. Chance or choice. And by doing that, I could tell one of my favourite stories. And some of you may have heard this story before. I may have even told it here. But it's a story of a band. True story. A band, not a Christian band, but a band that were trying to, in the early 90s, and they were just trying to get going. They were just formed. They were just trying to, and they were gigging around Manchester. They were doing small pubs and clubs, and they were just trying to form as a band, trying to break through a little bit. And they got an invitation, this band, to go and play in Glasgow, a little gigging event. A number of bands were going to play there. And they kind of ummed and ahed, and they thought, well, we're going to get paid for this. So they got this little green van. They shoved all their gear in this little green van, and they chuggled up to Glasgow. And they got to the venue. The venue was called King Tut's Wah Wah Hut. All right, so some of you might be thinking, I know this, so that's okay. And this is a true story. And they get there, they get to the door, and as they get to the door, they say, "We'll come up from Manchester, we're down to play tonight in this venue." And the doorman looks at the playlist and he said, "No, you're not down. You're not down to play here tonight." And they were like, "No, we are." And he said, "You better let us play, because they're all there with her, And the bouncer looking at him, thinking, "A bit dangerous." But he says, "All right, I'll tell you what I'll do. Is I'll let you play. I'll let you play right at the beginning. You can do the first. You can be the first on, and I'll give you a four-set song. You can do four songs." So they go, okay, if that's the best we can do, that's the best we can do. They go in, they start to set up their stuff ready for this early gig that they were going to do. Meanwhile, not that far away, There's a bloke, and he stood on Glasgow train station, not very happy. He's missed his train. He was meant to get a train from Glasgow to London. He's missed his train by 5 minutes, and he's not happy. And he's working it out, and he works out that his next train's in an hour. He's got to wait another hour. So he thinks, kill a bit of time, I'll just go for a drink. I'll have a drink, come back in an hour, get the next train down to London. And he goes down, and it just so happens that he walks into King Tut's Wah Wah Hut. And he sits down to have a drink. And actually, there's only about 8-10 people in the place at that point. But this band just start their four song set, and they play it. After they have finished, this guy who just missed his train by 5 minutes, he's in the pub just having a drink, killing time, he gets up. And he goes to the band, and he introduces himself to the band. They don't really know who he is, but he says to them, I would like to offer you a record contract. The guy's name is a guy called Alan McGee, and he was in charge of Creation Records. The band on stage was? It was Oasis. True story. You can look it up if you need to. And when you think about that story, some might say it's a story about chance. In some ways, was it by chance? In some ways, would Oasis have been discovered another way? We do not know. But the fact that this guy had missed his train by 5 minutes and just so happened to walk into that bar when they were just about to play their set and heard their music and thought, this band needs to be managed and needs a record contract. And obviously we know that from that, Oasis became one of the biggest bands, certainly of the 90s. It's a story some might say about chance. And I believe life is not really, though, about chance. I think some people think it is. It's all about chance. If I win the lottery, if I'm in the right place at the right time, if I get the right break, it's all about chance. And if that chance happens, I'm going to be all right. I think chance, really, for me, is equivalent to false hope. I think life is so much more about choice. It's about the choices that we make, far more than it is about chance. And for me, the biggest choice in life that any person has to make is to accept or follow Jesus. See, this choice not only affects our earthly lives, but obviously to follow Jesus, choosing to follow Jesus, has eternal consequences as well. The biggest choice that anybody can ever make in their lives is about choosing Jesus. And because I was with these Christchurch young people, I talked about the choice that changed my life. I gave them my testimony. I shared my story of when I was 13 and I had to make my own choice. Not my parents' choice. I wasn't born a Christian. It wasn't something that because I went to church I was a Christian. I knew at 13 years old I had to make a personal choice, my choice, to follow Jesus. And I challenged these young people to think about that choice personally for themselves. But for most of us, I know, in this room, place today, we're already Christians. You might say, yeah, David, but I've already made that choice to follow Jesus. But I think for Christians, one of our main focuses has to be what I would say are the ongoing choices of being a follower of Jesus. Trying to live for Jesus. Trying to be more like Jesus. Trying to reflect Jesus in the world around us. And in some ways, that's what I want to look at a little bit more this morning. I want to think about the importance of our choices as God's people, and I want to highlight a few, because it's this ongoing sense that we have this choice and making the best and the right choices, especially in regards to our faith. The first thing is we have to choose, don't we, how we live. That's what, for those that were here last week, that's what Lee was talking about. Lee last week talked about the fact that do we choose to be all in or all out when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. He gave us the image from the book of Revelation where it talks about are we hot or cold or lukewarm. And we say we have to make that choice. Are we going to be hot for Jesus in some ways? Or are we going to reject him and be cold? Or are we going to be just lukewarm? Are we just going to play it? And the Bible says that is distasteful for God. We have to choose. We have to choose where Jesus comes in the priorities of our lives. If you're a Christian here today, you have to choose where does Jesus come in all that your life is all about. And we talk, don't we, sometimes in church about putting Jesus in the driving seat of our lives. We talk about asking Jesus to sit on the throne of our hearts. We talked last week a little bit again as I finished about making Jesus Lord. We have that choice. We have a choice as Christians. Where does Jesus come in the priorities of who we are? And is he Lord of our lives? Is he on the throne of our hearts? Is he in the driving seat? Or is he just something else as well as other things? As Christians, we have to choose about do we spend our time with God? And now we could say, yeah, but God's always with us all the time. But he is. But I think sometimes we have to choose to spend specific time with God. For example, I think we have to choose to read the Bible, his word to us. We have to choose to make time to pray and to be in that relationship with God in our prayer spaces. We have to invest in that spiritual food, invest in our spiritual walk that will deepen our understanding, that will grow our relationship with God. But we have to choose that because there's lots of other things that will pull that time. And the Bible says, will we choose to give some of our time, especially through the, not just on a Sunday, but through our daily walk, that to spend time with God specifically in his word and in prayer? Will we spend that time investing in our relationship with God, deepening and fueling our faith? We have to choose whether we're going to include God in all the areas and aspects of our lives. You used to get sometimes, if you're very important, you go to these festivals or whatever, you get these passes called the AAA pass, which basically means if you get one of them, you can access all areas of the venue, of the thing. You can go backstage. You can go into to the catering tent. You can go wherever, because you've got access all areas. And I believe God wants access all areas in our lives, but we have to choose that. We have to choose whether we will let him be with us, when we're at work and when we're with our friends and when we're in our social spaces and when will we give him that permission? Because he won't barge himself in, he's a gentleman, but he wants that access. We have to choose to say, will we let our faith be the biggest influence on our words and our actions and our attitudes, even when sometimes it means going against the crowd, going against the world in which we live in today. But will we make those choices when we're put in those tough places to say, no, I'm going to make sure my actions and my words and my attitudes are in line with who I am as a Christian, my faith? Or are we just going to get drawn into the world around us? Choices, choices all the time. Will we choose as God's people to consult God, or just let God know regarding our life's big choices? Things like our jobs and whether we move house and our relationships and that sort. Those big choices that influence our lives. Do we consult? Will we choose to consult God or just tell God once we've made them? Will we let our faith and will we let the Bible shape our morality? That's really important. Or will we just let the world around us shape our morality? Will we battle with sin? And we have to be so careful that we don't pick and mix. We say we like that bit of the Bible, or we like that bit of what we feel Jesus would want for us, but that bit, not so sure about that. We're not doing that. We've got to battle that. We've got to let the Bible, we've got to choose to let our faith, our relationship with Jesus, God's word, shape our lives. And sort of shape those decisions and choices that we make. Will we do that? Will we choose not to let go of God, to trust him and to lean on him? Psalm 62 verse 8 says, trust in him in all times, you people. Pour your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Will we choose to go to God in our struggles, in our hard times? I love the story in the Bible of the woman who came to Jesus and she wept at Jesus' feet. And I love that story because I just get this sense that she brings to Jesus her struggles and her heartache and her mess. And when we're in those places of struggle and heartache, I think sometimes there is a temptation or it's easier just to run away and to hide. But as Christians, we have to make the choice to bring those things into our relationship, into Jesus. Will we choose to bring those things to Jesus? Will we allow him in those places? Will we choose as Christians to persevere? We're encouraged to do this so many times in the Bible, to keep going, because God knows that the Christian walk is hard. And he talks about this narrow road that many fall off it. And we know that sometimes when life is tough, or when there's not a buzz around and it gets a bit mundane, will we keep choosing to just keep going, to persevere in our faith, because our faith is at the heart and the cornerstone of who we are. These are ongoing choices of God's people, of me and of you. Will we choose to reflect Jesus' character in the world around us? Because it's tough. Will we choose to be honest? Will we choose to be kind? Will we choose to be generous? Will we choose to be compassionate? And there's so much more. But will we choose to reflect Jesus in the world around us? Will we choose to stand for justice and go against injustice? Do we need to choose how we treat people? Will we treat people with respect? Will we love people? Will we not judge people? Will we forgive people? Will we choose as God's people to be a witness, to share our faith, to take hold of this great commission on us all to be people who build his church and extend his kingdom? We have to choose this as God's people. These are ongoing choices all the time in our lives as God's people. It's not just a one-off choice. All right, Jesus is my friend now. Jesus is my Lord. I've accepted Jesus. That's it. We have this ongoing sense of choosing who we are and to be the people of God in the world in which we round. And it's not always easy. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's difficult. But we have to choose to do this. And what about our church? We have to choose, don't we, to be present in church, in among God's people. And I often say to people, you know what, the greatest thing that you can give to the church is your presence. It's the greatest gift that you bring. It's not your money, though we know money's important. It's your presence. It's being present, bringing who you are. We have to choose that, and we have to choose to be present, not just on a Sunday, but be part of this wider community of being church. Like we said earlier on, with all these other opportunities, it's not just, well, I go on a Sunday, so I'm present. Yes, you are, that's important, that's an important part, but it's about choosing to be present as part of the wider community of being God's people. Because that's church. You know, I would say some of the greatest ministry in church is done over coffee. Be present. Come and stay along. Chat to people. Share with people. Pray with people. Have a conversation. So you're like, well, I've got to get home. Yeah, I know. We can't always stay. But that sense of being present is one of the greatest things that you can bring into our church. I think also when you come into church, it's how we choose our posture in worship, because we have to choose that. We have to choose when we come into worship, are we ready to receive God's word? Are we ready not just to sing the songs, but to worship? Are we ready to encounter the Holy Spirit? Because we have to choose that. It's an attitude that we have to choose. It's getting into a posture to meet with God. We have to choose to play our part in his church, in his body. And I thank many of you do lots of great work, and it's so important. But I hope, like me, you want to be part of a vibrant Christian community. Bill Hybels used to say, the local church is the hope of the world. That's why I'm committed to a local church. Well, Christians, I believe, have to be part of a local community, because it's the hope of the world. But it needs your presence. It needs you to play your part. It needs you to be wanting that vibrancy within the community. Together, we do that. You know, our choices in life play a big influence, not just in our faith, but in all kinds of life. The choices that we make, life isn't generally about chance. It's not about whether your lottery numbers come up and I would question whether you should even be playing it in the first place, but that's another issue. But in the end, I think what shapes you is the choices that you make. And this is the same in our spiritual lives, in our faith, in our Christian walk. It's about the choices that we decide to make. I think we're talking today, most of all, really is about the aim of being more like Jesus. It's about the aim of reflecting Jesus in the world around us. You know, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says this, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Our aim as God's people is to reflect Jesus in the world around us. That is who we are as God's people. Is that your aim? If it's not, you think, well, okay, maybe we need to focus differently. God gave us a gift, you know, in creation. He gave us free will, which means that we have choice. You have choice. I have choice. We're not robots. Sometimes those Jesus choices just come naturally, and that's fantastic. Sometimes they're easy, but sometimes they're hard. Sometimes it's a real battle to make the choices in line with following Jesus. But the good news is, isn't it, that God has given us some help. Most of all, he's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us the same power that rose Christ from the dead. The Bible says he's in us as God's people. So he's given us the power to make the choices in line with who we are as God's people. Also, if you read in Hebrews 11, it talks about this sort of stadium of God's of saints that have gone before us are spurring us on from the sidelines. They're cheering us on, going, come on, you can do it. Moses is up there and Abraham's up there. And they're looking down on us saying, come on, guys, make the right choices. Come on, make the choices to follow Jesus, to reflect Jesus, to fight sin, to let your faith shape your morality. All those different things. The saints are there. But also we've got each other. We should be doing that for one another. And that we should be cheering each other on, shouldn't we? As God's family, as God's people. Come on, you can do it. Let's do it together. We can do it. I think for some today, you just need to stop and think. Am I making the right choices? Am I making God choices, Jesus choices in my lives? I think some of you, and I'm, you know, and I say this randomly, and maybe I need to look at myself as well. Basically, what we're doing, we used to make the right choices, but now we're making not the right choices. We've fallen back. We used to spend time with God. It used to be a priority. But now, well, sometimes, occasionally, we've let the right choices slip. And we need to think about, are we making those right choices again? Some of us, we just need to choose to get going again. Because actually we've kind of stopped. And we've kind of settled somewhere. And we need to choose to get going again. Some of you used to always come to the prayer meeting. Now, I'm not sure I want to go. Why? Is not prayer important anymore? Was it important then and not now? Is your life now just full of so much more? I'm not having a go at people, but there's that sense of we've let things slip sometimes and we need to choose to get going again. Because the enemy's trying to slowly pull us back, make us less effective, make us less engaging. But it's a choice. It has to be our choice. God will not drag us to anything. He won't make us. Some of us used to love sharing our faith. But now it's like, I don't want to do it, scared, what happens if this... And we step back. And we just choose to step forward again. You know, just, we read one of my favourite Bible passages. And it's been a passage that shaped my walk with God for many years. It's this story of God's people walking towards the promised land in the Old Testament. Most of us know the story well, or know certainly the backstory to it. So So most of us know that Moses led God's people out of Egypt. And then they went through the Red Sea. They went into the wilderness. And they were moving toward this promised land that God had promised them that was going to be amazing. And God's people travel along, and they get there. They get to the edge of it. And then, like we just read, what they do is they think, well, before we step into the promised land, we'll just check it out. They send in 12 spies, one from every tribe of God's people. And then they wait, and then the spies come back, and Moses is there, and he's like, okay, what was it like? Two of the spies say, wow, it is absolutely amazing. It's just like God had promised. It's got this massive fruit. It's lovely. It's amazing. Come on, let's get in there. But 10 of the spies go, it is like that. But there's also some big people in there, a bit scary. And we're not sure about them. So they think about it for a while. Maybe they pray about it, I don't know. And do you know what they do? They say, come on, back into the desert. And they go back into the desert. And God sends them back in the desert. They choose, they make a bad choice. It's a devastating choice. Instead of stepping forward into the promised land that God had given them and said he would give them, they choose to go back into the desert and they wander around again for another 40 years. And they wander around, and in that time, that generation slowly, over time, die off. Until eventually, after 40 years, they travel this big circle. They step on, they get to the edge of the promised land again. But virtually nobody's left. It's a new generation of God's people of through this journey has taken place. And they have to make the choice again. This time, they go in. And as they go in, they receive the fullness of the promise that God had said he would give them in the first place. That passage niggles me because that first generation had that opportunity. But by making a bad choice, they missed it. They missed the promise of God fully in their lives. The next generation, God said, okay, well, I'll give it to the next generation. And they were to receive the promise that God had for them. And that struggles me because I don't want to miss out on the promises that God has got for me. I don't want this church to miss out on the promises that God's got for us. But it's about, are we going to make the right choices? Are we going to trust him? Are we going to try and be people like him? Because there are consequences to bad choices. Like you say, that when we make bad choices, that whole generation missed out on the promise of God. And in the world in which we live in today, we can see a world gone against God and making choices against God all the time, and they're missing out on the promise of God. And it can happen to us if we don't make the choices to let God shape our lives, to make him at the center of who we are, to spend time with him, to play our part in his church. If we don't make the right choices, we will miss out on some of the promise that God has got for us. We have the choice. But as I finish, I'd just simply say, bad choices are not the end. It's like I say in the Bible reading today, when God's people eventually came back round again, this time God's people made the right choice and they entered the promised land. And what I want to say about that is we always have a God of new beginnings. So if we think we've made bad choices and we think, oh, I've messed it, that's it, it's gone. No, that's not God's way. We have a God of new opportunities and new beginnings, even starting today. We have a God who can restore bad choices. You think about people in the Bible like Saul, who used to kill Christians. And yet God gave him that opportunity to change and be restored and to be one of God's person. We think about people like Jonah, who when God told him to do something, he ran away and did something else. But yet God restored it and got him back into position. We think about Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. What bad choices he made as Jesus was arrested. No, I don't know him. I don't know who he is. But did God say, or did Jesus say when he met him, well, you're finished with Peter, you know. He said, let me restore you. You've made bad choices, but I can restore bad choices. And I was talking to somebody at the Lighthouse this week, the place at Barker Street, on Tuesday night, and he was talking about some of the bad choices that he'd made in his life. And I said these words to him, and I think these words are important to some of us today. Don't let the bad choices of your past define your future. Because we have a God who can restore. We have a God who can give new opportunities. And some of you might say, I've made the bad choices in the past, and we're carrying that. And the Bible says you don't need to carry that. We can work through that. We can bring forgiveness. I can bring healing. I can set you free. But don't let the bad choices of your past and come off it. We've all made them to varying degrees. But let that not define who we are now in Christ. And let that not define our future and the opportunities and the promises and the purposes that God has got for us. We need to bring them to him. And we need to start saying, okay, sorry if necessary, but also help if we need it. And then God, would you help us to go forward in a new place? Would we, even today, could we say, look, I want to step into that promise that you've got for me. I hope we do. Let's bow our heads and pray. Oh, I just pray that as we move towards this final part of our service together, and that you just start to speak to us. You might want to challenge us, and that's a little bit uncomfortable at times. You might want to encourage us. I think probably you want to encourage us all in some way. Help us to think about the things that we need to think about. Help us to bring things to you that we need to bring to you. Holy Spirit, would you speak into our hearts? In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're going to sing and pray again. But we're going to sing the song called The Cross. And, you know, what when we sing about the cross, it reminds us of ultimately the choice that Jesus made for us. Jesus' choice was to go to the cross so that we can know his forgiveness. Jesus chose to go to the cross so that we could be forgiven, that we could have new opportunities, new starts, even today in this place. So let's proclaim the cross as we continue. Just one back up for me, please. Just as we're singing that, and just... The next bit. When I was singing it, just this particular verse, who told you grace can't reach the mess that ones like you. Has the devil made you believe the lies he tells the truth? And that's what he does. He lies and he tries to knock us off. He tries to take us down wrong paths. He tries to weaken our energy for faith and for God's things. And that's what he does. And, you know, when I say that, that's not to condemn, because the Bible doesn't, it's not about Jesus condemning us for that, because we all fall for it sometimes. He's really good at his job, is the devil. But we have a victor. So when you're sure that you're the one who's wandered too far off, it's never too late. You just come home to the cross. Maybe some of us today just need to come home to the cross. We need to make a stand again and say, come on, this is who I am. I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. I want that to be the shaper and the center of who I am, the choices that I make, the things that I do. I want to put you right in there, God. And, you know, maybe some of us need to say, sorry, we've not done those things. We've let things go. That's okay, but we come to the cross because we know the cross has the power, it is the symbol of the power of the forgiveness that God offers us. For some of us, we're just stuck in, you think it's the past choices, but I've done that, haven't I, again? And I've been there again. And, you know, but You don't let those choices, those bad choices that you've made define who you are. God says you're a new creation. God's chosen you to be his child. And he says, whatever's gone before, well, we go forward in a different way if necessary. Amen. Set free, healed, restored, energized for the kingdom of God. You know, and last night, so I'll tell you what I'll do. I wasn't going to do this, but I'll do it anyway. So when I talked to the young people at Christ Church, I didn't give that whole sermon. I'd better be just well asleep. I touched on making the Jesus choice. And I told them in my testimony that when I was 13 years old, I had to make a choice to follow Jesus. I knew I had to make the choice. And at 13 years old, and this room in Scarborough, I've talked about my testimony before, sat down, overpowered by the love of God, I had to respond. And the response for me as a young person at that time was to come and touch a cross. It was a little cross, very similar to this, on a table in the middle of the room. And I had to go up and I had to. And the guy said, if you want to make Jesus, say you want to follow Jesus, if you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you want to receive what the fullness of who he is in your life, then come forward, just respond to him. He says, touch the cross. And I remember going and 13 years old, touching the cross, bursting into tears. But it was the start of a new journey. It was a choice that changed my life. And I said to these young people last night, because I took this cross with me, I said, I challenged them to do the same. You know, and some of them came out and touched the cross. And I pray that it was for them, it was the start of a life-changing choice that affects their earthly life here, but has those eternal echoes for them one day. So maybe as we finish today, for some of us, maybe we just need to respond. We just, for whatever reason, maybe we're just saying to God, okay, I'm in again. Or maybe we need to say, I'm sorry, and I need to ask your forgiveness. I need to be cleansed. I need to be restored again. I need to know the God of second chances. Maybe some of us just need to say, I'm not going to stand at the edge of the promised land and look at it. I want to step into it again. The promises that you've got for me. Everybody missed out of that promise, you know, apart from the two people who came back and said, no, let's go in. Even Moses, who led the people there, he only got to see it. Because he made the bad choice, he missed out. I don't want us to miss out on all that God has got for us, the promises that he's got for us. So maybe some of us just need to rededicate something. Maybe need to just, you know, say something to God. So what I'll do is I'm going to put the cross here. We're going to sing our song, The Blessing, I think we're finishing with. And if you want to come out and just touch the cross, there's a way, and you might say, well, what's that's not in the Bible, that's not holy or some significant. There's no big significance apart from you saying to God, you're making that choice, I suppose. Even to make it in front of God's people is great. And we're not going to ask you why you've come out. Just touch the cross and say, just a response, as an act of something that God may be saying to you today, sealing it somewhere before you leave this place into the confusion and the craziness of the world around us. Because it is tough to me to follow Jesus in this world. But would we make the choice to say, yeah, I'll put you on the throne of my heart again because I've moved you off. Would you make the choice to say, I'm going to let your word shape my morality and how I treat people? Would I make the choice to be present and play my part in your kingdom and in your church? To share the faith with those around me? God, I want that. I want that. I want people fired up. I want to be fired for you, fired up for people, for you, whatever. Would you say, for some of you might be just saying, would you heal me? Would you help me with some of those bad things that I've done in the past? Because they're niggling with me. I'm carrying them in my heart, in my head. I want to be free from those. I don't want the bad choices of my past to define me. I want the promises over my life to define me. For whatever reason, if you want to respond. And it's brave to come to the front. And that's why it's lovely to see some of these young people from Christchurch last night in front of their peers as a young person, and it's harder than for you lot, I can tell you that now, came to the front and just touched the cross. And I pray that youth leaders will lead them forward and nurture them on. Would we just make a response today? If you want to, if you feel it's appropriate, and you'll know if it is because your heart will be going, oh, and you'll be sweaty palms, even though it's hot anyway. If you feel it's appropriate, it's just a way of saying, yeah, today, I'm not just hearing a message, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to try and live it with your help, the Holy Spirit. So we're going to stand, and we'll sing the blessing.